We're gonna have some preaching here tonight. I'm not guaranteeing you how long we'll take, but it looks like about 10 minutes, right?
Amen. There's no pictures, so you'll be all right.
There's no pictures. Amen. Okay, so let me read you a couple of scriptures here, and I don't have them picked out, but I will get to them quickly here. Psalms chapter 40 and verse 2 is the first one. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 2 says this. It says, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That's Psalm chapter 40, verse 2. Luke chapter 6 and verse 48. Book of Luke chapter 6 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 6 and verse 48. Okay. "He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock."
That's good.
Last one is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Okay. And all right, it says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord."
That's good.
Hey, I want to preach tonight a simple, simple message. My heart is fixed. My heart is fixed. Now, it doesn't mean fixed in the sense of repaired or healed. It's fixed in the sense of settled, nailed down, fixed, locked in place, glued down, welded and bolted, you know. Fixed, settled, steadfast and sure. My heart is fixed. Psalm 57, verse 7, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." In Psalm 108, verse 1, the same thing. "My heart is fixed, O God, I will sing and give praise." And when your heart is fixed and settled on a few things, you start singing and praising God. That's how it works. The world is insecure and undecided. The world is fearful. The world is noncommittal. The world is no absolutes, no boundaries. You know, no lines. That's how the world is. No right and wrong. Like, no black or white. No winners and losers. They don't want anything like that. The world believes in existentialism, which means you are your own God. Existentialism means you decide what wrong, right and wrong is. Existentialism, truth is what you decide it is.
That's
yeah. Well, that's the world. That's where they're at. There is no absolutes. There is no foundation. There's nothing they go off of. They kicked out the rule book a long time ago.
Yeah.
What have they got now? All they've got is their own reason. Man is his own God. So, any rate, let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this opportunity. And Holy Spirit, please use it. Please encourage our hearts and help us to just enjoy this truth, and may it be an encouragement to us. We pray, please. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I was thinking about it today. It's been 38 years I've been trying to serve God, and I haven't quit yet.
Praise
like,
God.
You know, that, but that's, there's several reasons for that. One of which I'm talking about here tonight, because my heart is fixed on a few things. Amen. My heart is established. It's set up and prepared. My heart is made sure. It's fastened down and confirmed and settled on a few things. All right. And I just want to talk about a couple of those tonight. For first thing, my heart is fixed on the Bible. My heart is fixed on the Bible, and I rejoice in the Bible, and I praise God for the Bible, the Word of God, the perfect Word of God, the infallible, inerrant Word of God. It says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. We talked about Titus today. What does that say? In which God that cannot lie. In which God that cannot lie. Amen? There are no lies in this book. You don't have to worry about deception or pretense or, you know, facade. There's no lies in there. God cannot lie. And that's important to me. The Bible is true. What does it say in John 17? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. I praise God. My heart is fixed on the Bible. I believe in the Bible. I trust the Bible, okay? When the Bible says something, I don't argue with it. I want to learn it, and I want to do it. The Bible is it's the final authority. You don't mess with the Bible. You know? The old black book. What's that song say? The old black book that my daddy used to read from. Amen. I love the Bible, and my heart is fixed on the Bible, the inspiration of the Bible. Hey, 2 Timothy 3:16, the Word of God is inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired. Hey, but you know what? It not only was inspired, but it is inspired. Huh? Hey, what does that verse say? This makes perfect sense to me. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul and spirit of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What does it say? For the word of God is quick.
Amen.
What does it mean? It's fast? No. Quick, as in quickened, as in alive, as in living. How is the word of God alive without the breath of God? Hey, you remember what happened to Adam? Adam in the Garden of Eden? God formed him out of the dust of the ground, but he was still just a piece of dust. There was no life in him until what? God breathed on him. That's God, right? Breathed into his nostrils, sir, the breath of life. Hey, God, the word of God is alive because God has breathed on it. That's inspiration. Inspiration.
Amen.
God breathed, okay? That's our Bible's a living word of God. It is not a dead Bible, okay? It is quick and powerful. And it's that way because of the inspiration, all right? It's preserved. Psalm 12, verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I love the Bible. Hey, my heart is fixed on the Bible. Don't let anybody try and take it away from you. Don't let anybody try and say, talk about, you know, fairy tales and gray areas and, you know, contradictions. Ooh, I want to slap somebody when they tell me that. I know better. I know better. My heart's fixed on that book right there. You can trust in it. My heart's fixed on the Bible. My heart is fixed on a couple of things tonight. My heart is fixed on prayer. On prayer, okay? Hey, our eternal resource. I'm a needy man. I wake up in the morning, you know, the first words out of my mouth? Lord, I need you. Huh? God, I need you. I'm a needy man. I'm not afraid to say that, okay? If I look around, I see a few more needy people in here, too.
Yeah,
sir. Huh? But, hey, prayer. Oh, thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Why? Because all flesh needs God in a big way. My heart is fixed on prayer. I need prayer. I need prayer today, tomorrow. I need prayer during the day and in the evening. I need prayer seven times a day. I need prayer all day. I need prayer in every situation I come across. I need to be praying. What does the Bible say? Pray without ceasing. It's the command of God. My heart is fixed on prayer. Okay? I believe in prayer. And one of the passions of my life is to learn to get my prayers answered more consistently. I want to know that God hears and answers my prayers. Huh? The promises are there. My heart is fixed on the Bible, and my heart is fixed on prayer. You know, God created us for the purpose of walking with Him, right? How do you walk with God without talking with Him? Well, you don't, all right? So your very purpose in existence has to do with prayer. I believe in prayer. My heart is fixed on prayer. I pray about everything, and I depend on God to hear and answer. I look for Him to answer. That's called faith, all right? But my heart is fixed. It's fixed on the Bible. It's fixed on prayer. My heart is fixed on something else here. It's the doctrine of salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, salvation, it's for everyone.
Amen.
Salvation is not for the elect. It's not for the privileged few. Salvation for everyone. What does it say in Revelation 22:17? It says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will. what's the song say? Whosoever will, shout the sound. Whosoever will, spread the tidings all around. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That people want to say, oh, well, you know, are you part of the 144,000? No, I'm part of the other side of the tracks. I'm part of the dirt balls gang. You know what? Jesus is a friend of sinners, and I'm okay with that. You know? Amen. Hey, yep. Salvation is for everyone.
That's right.
What John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My heart is fixed on the doctrine of salvation. It's for everybody, okay? And we need to revisit that and remind ourselves of the doctrine of salvation. By grace through faith. What is that? Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. People want to say, well, you know, I'm just trying to hold on. I got saved, but I'm trying to hold on. How? What in the world? How did you get saved? You know, I got saved by grace through faith. I got saved by unmerited favor. I got saved by the mercy of God on my sinful soul. What did I do to get saved? I didn't do nothing to get saved. What am I going to do to keep it? Huh? Hey, on the doctrine of salvation is important for us to be settled on. Remember, I was talking this morning about spending 2 years in La La Land, wishing I knew I was saved. you need to have this settled in your heart. Salvation is by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing.
That's right.
Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I didn't deserve it. He did it for me. And he loves me, and he provided it, offered it to me. I simply accepted it. It's that simple. Okay? Was it Galatians 2:16? I love this verse. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Right.
Hey, amen.
You're right.
That's good stuff right there.
Yes, sir.
Hey. Salvation. My heart is fixed on salvation. I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I settled on it. I stand on that. You know, that rock, he said, brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay of works and religion, and he set my feet upon a rock. Okay? The rock of salvation, eternal salvation. It doesn't go away. I don't lose it. Amen? John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Promise of God. I'm saved, and I can't lose that. And nobody can take it from me. Amen? It doesn't matter what happens today, tomorrow, or the next day. It's settled. The transaction's done. The contract is signed. I'm in like Flynn. Amen? My heart is fixed, okay? And hey, if you're going to still be serving God 20 years from now, you're going to have to get your heart fixed on a couple of things. And one is the Bible. One is prayer. One is the doctrine of salvation. Another one is soul winning. Amen? My heart is fixed on soul winning. Soul winning is a big part of the Christian life. Hey, did you know they say about the Christian who goes away from God, the feet get cold first. The feet get cold first. Don't let your feet get cold. You got to keep going. You got to keep being willing. You got to keep trying. Soul winning. You don't ever give it up. The Great Commission, what does it say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
That's right.
Go ye. That's go ye. And it's go ye, okay? Go ye. That's to every individual Christian. The Great Commission, our commission, Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Who is exempt from that? Who do I not preach the gospel to? Well, pretty much don't leave anybody out, does it? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, okay? At every opportunity that we get, we need to be witnessing for Christ. We need to be telling them, okay? I'm not for this survey thing.
Right.
Well, let me take a survey here and see, you know, if there's any interest here before we come back and try and witness to you. or whatever. I even know how they do it. I know a survey is an excuse for soul winning. Okay, I know that, and I want nothing to do with it. I'm glad I don't know about it. I want nothing to do with it. Okay, a survey. Go out and preach the gospel. That's the Great Commission. Go out and take surveys. No, Great Commission. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel. That's something about soul winning. You know, you can't get anybody saved. You can't do that. God has to do that. You can go and tell them. All you can do is tell them. That's all you've got is the word of God. It's quick and powerful, and you use the word of God as a sword, and you stick them in a gizzard with it, and you give it to them. But you know what? It's not you that gets them saved. That's why I say earlier today, I said about repeating the scriptures when you use them and get them stuck in their mind. God can use that. The Holy Spirit can use the scriptures if you will stick them in their heart and mind in the best you know how. Okay? You don't get anybody saved. You just go witness. You go preach the gospel. And God does the saving. Amen?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, my heart is fixed on soul winning because of the Great Commission. My heart is fixed on soul winning because of Jesus' example. Jesus, our example, the soul winner. Amen? Here he comes to the well, and the woman comes out, and right away he's talking to her and dealing with her about her soul, and she gets saved. She goes back into town, and she becomes a soul winner that quick. And she's trying to win half the town, bringing them out to meet the Savior, okay? Well, the woman at the well, what about the man born blind? He was born blind, and Jesus healed him. And the blind man's like, he went and said to the priests, and they're all like, well, what did he do? I said, well, he put clay and put it on my eyes, and I wash and I see. And, you know, and they said, and then they asked him again and says, you know, hey, this guy, we don't know where he's from, but, you know, we believe that he's a sinner because he can't be right with God. He can't be, you know, of God. And not be part of us, you know. The guy looked at him and said, that's interesting. You don't know where this guy's from or who he is or anything about him, and yet he has opened the eyes of the blind, he said. He said, he opened my eyes. He said, he's obviously of God, and you don't know a thing about him. They said, you guys need to get down there and meet him. And they kicked him out of the temple, and he came back to Jesus, and he said, you know, Jesus found him, actually, and Jesus said to him, hey, do you believe on the name of the Son of God? And soul winner, right away. And the guy says, well, Lord, tell me who he is. I'll believe on him. He said, it is he that speaketh. You have seen him, both seen him, and it is he that speaketh with thee. And the guy said, Lord, I believe. Well, he got saved. So our Lord Jesus is a soul winner. Remember Zacchaeus up the tree? What happened? The Lord's walking by, and he says, come down here. You need to get saved, buddy. And we're going to your house today, and salvation has come to this house. He was out soul winning everywhere he went. It wasn't just, you know, on Tuesday night and Saturday. He actually, everywhere he went, he was soul winning. What about the lady with the issue? Remember, she had 12 years she was bleeding somewhere in her body, an internal bleeding. 12 years, and she spent all her money on the doctors and the physicians. And then here comes Jesus walking by, and she says, you know what? That's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He can help me if I can get to him. And here's this crowd of guys. Can you imagine Brother Scott standing there, and Brother Barnes is there, and Brother Wiley's beside him, and then there's Brother Joe, and here's this little girl. I mean, maybe Miss Mung size, and she's got to push through this crowd of guys. She made it. She must have really wanted to, because those guys were trying to get close to him. There was a throng, the Bible says. There wasn't just a couple of people. It was a throng. A throng is going to be hundreds of people. And they all wanted to get close to him. Okay? Well, she wanted it worse than the rest of them, because she made it through, and she touched his clothes. Okay? And he turned around to her. He said an interesting statement. He said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. They're two different words. I looked at him, studying him a little bit. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. That was salvation. He said, go in peace and be whole, healthy, healed of thy plague. her faith did both for her. But Jesus, the soul winner, he's our example. I believe in soul winning. I'm out every Saturday on the bus route, and during the week when I have the opportunity, I'm a truck driver. Sometimes I'm riding with these different guys, and every time I've ridden with one of these guys, I've made it a point to embarrass myself and stick my neck out and ask them, hey, do you know for sure if you die, you're going to heaven? I made a point of that. You know, Dave Dorsey. You know, Bob Hickey, and you name it. These guys, I made a point to witness to them. Even that old fella that used to run shuttles is gone now. But Sean, the whole crew, every one of them that I had a chance to ride with, I make it a point. I stick my neck out, and I just witness to them. None of them have been disrespectful. None of them have gotten saved. But I make it a point to try. I make it a point to give them the gospel. It's up to them to accept it, right? I believe in soul winning. I believe in soul winning. And you know what? Soul winning will do something for you. Soul winning will do something for your heart and life that nothing else will do. There's no substitute for it. You can't get it any other way other than obeying the direct command of God and going soul winning. It just does something for your heart. It warms your heart. It puts a reset button on your heart. It helps your heart. It gives you wisdom. It just helps you in every way possible. When you go soul winning and witness to somebody, it's good for you. Amen? The gospel, the vitamin, it's good for the Christian. Any rate, so the Great Commission, I believe in soul winning. My heart is fixed on soul winning because of the Great Commission, because of Jesus' example, and also because there is a hell. There is a hell. My heart is fixed on soul winning because there is a place called hell. It's real. Revelation 21:8. That the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Was it the verse just in the chapter previous? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Hell is a real place. And you know, like I talked about earlier today when I mentioned that dream I had, you can't wait to tell people. You can't say, well, maybe somebody else will talk to them. You can't wait and say, it's not convenient right now. Another time. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you know you're supposed to talk to somebody, you need to move and do it. But I believe in soul winning because there is a hell. I remember Brother Hiles gave a story of a young preacher who came to him the preacher, he was brand new. He was just out of college. And he says, I'm trying to decide what kind of preacher I want to be. I on this side, you know, there's the scholarly, deeper life people inviting me. On this side, there's the fundamental, you know, hellfire and brimstone people inviting me. He said, I don't know what kind of a preacher I want to be. And Brother Howells looked at him and says, is there a hell? The guy says, well, yeah, yes, there is. He says, now, I need your advice, though. I want to know what you think about where I should go, towards the soul winning side and the fundamentalist side, towards, you know, preaching and soul winning, or towards the deeper life teaching side. He said, I want your advice. He says, is there a hell? The guy's like, yes, I said I believe in that. He said, but I want to know your advice. And Brother Hiles says, is there a hell? Is there a hell? Is there a hell? and he said, the young man just kind of walked off, kind of shaking his head. He wasn't sure what to think about it, but he said he got word shortly thereafter of a young preacher preaching on the sermon, is there a hell? The guy had chosen to be a soul winner. Amen. I believe in soul winning. Soul winning, my heart is fixed on soul winning. Okay. I was a soul winner within 2 weeks of getting saved 38 years ago, and I'm a soul winner today. My heart is fixed on that. It's settled. The rock, you know, that's what you call being settled on the rock. You stick with it. You don't change. Fixed means unmovable. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, my heart is fixed on these things, on Bible and prayer and salvation, soul winning. My heart is fixed on these things because it's a decision on my part in the first place. And then I do things to, I do things to help that situation along. I do things to inspire that, to keep that going, to maintain that, like listening to preaching, like listening to the Word of God preaching. Our pastor, in particular, I was with 20 years with Brother Hiles listening to Brother Howells preach three times a week 20 years. I was 10 years with Brother Owens listening to him preach three times a week. And now I've been 5 years with Brother Bush listening to him preach. And you know what? Same stuff.
Yeah,
same stuff. That is so important to me. That is so important to me. Our preacher is steadfast and unmovable, and his heart is fixed. And
yes,
and that's why I feel so comfortable in this church, because I don't have to worry about something new coming on. I don't want anything new. My heart is fixed on the old, the Bible and prayer and salvation and soul winning. I don't need anything new. All right. So another thing my heart is fixed on is separation. Jesus, our example in Hebrews 7:26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and it says separate from sinners. And it doesn't mean that he was holier than thou. It means that he did not walk in their ways. Okay, you know what Psalm 1 says? Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners.
Right.
Jesus was a friend of sinners. He ate with them. He encouraged them. He talked with them. He tried to reach them, but he didn't walk in their ways. He didn't walk in their ways. He was separate from sinners, okay? This is a command of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 6:17. Come out from among them and be ye separate. We've heard that. In 1 John 2:15, love not the world.
Right.
Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, ouch, the love of the Father is not in him.
Right.
Huh?
Look out.
I love the sarcastic answer of Brother Scott last week. I was kidding him about watching the ball drop. You know, the New Year's thing. He said, yeah, he says, I'm going to go watch the ball drop. Right, I'm going to go enjoy the festivities of the world. He was being sarcastic, you know. I love that. You know, it wasn't even a consideration. He's like, you know, get out of here. But the point being, Christians are not supposed to be in love with the world. Christians are. My heart is fixed on separation. I got my hair cut when I was about 2 or 3 weeks into being a Christian, and it has stayed cut ever since. I haven't let it grow out again. Okay, sometimes it goes. It takes a little too long to get a haircut, and I feel like a hippie. But hey, my standards of separation with the world are where they were 38 years ago. My heart's fixed on that. And if you're going to stay, if you're going to stick around in God's will and God's service, you're going to have your heart fixed on a few things. You're going to have your heart fixed on the Bible. You're going to have your heart fixed on prayer. You're going to have your heart fixed on the doctrine of salvation. You're going to have your heart fixed on soul winning. You're going to have your heart fixed on separation. You know, the Spirit convicts me when I'm into something worldly. I don't have to try and check for it in Scripture. I know it. you know it. You know, you're getting into something. You're finding an excuse of why it's okay. You know, and the Spirit's saying, you know, that's not right. You know, that's worldly. You know, that's, you know, not spiritual, and that doesn't pleasing to God. And the Holy Spirit will convict you. You just know the worldliness that you're getting into is wrong. I deal a lot with teenagers and their music, and I get that attitude many times. Well, what's wrong with, you know? It's like, you know, if you have to ask the question, it probably is its own answer.
Yes.
We know it before we ever ask the question. Any rate, okay. So, my heart is fixed on a few things, and separation is one of them. My heart is fixed on service. Serving God, serving people. The needs of people, in particular, my bus kids, it moves me. My heart is fixed on serving people. I don't want to be anything else but a servant. I don't want to be anything else but used of God to help people. That's who I am, okay? And I don't think that's just, you know, some gift of helps or something. I think that's how Christians are supposed to be. The Lord went about doing good. You ever hear that before? He went about doing good.
Yes,
and the book of John, what does it say? John was writing the Gospel of John. He came to the last chapter, and you know how he finished the book of John, the Gospel of John, he finished it like this. He says, "And there are also many other things that Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." He was making a point. Jesus did so many things for people. He cared so much about people. He did so much in service to meet people's needs and help them. He said, "You can't even record all of it." He said, "There's just no way." Okay, well, that's how Jesus lived his life, going about doing good, going about caring about people, going about serving people's needs. I get in trouble with some of my family and friends sometimes because they'd say, "You know, they're just using you." I said, "Okay, so I used to be used, you know. That's okay. I don't on purpose throw money and goods at people who are users, but I am still available to help them. I'm still available to be there for them, and if they need something, I still try and help them. You know, even if I've designated them own thinking that they're users. They still have needs, and I still want to be a help to them." Okay? Yes, people will use you. Hey, just enjoy it, all right? Just enjoy it. Brother Howes used to say this. Nobody that he knew, there was nobody he knew over 30 years old that didn't have a broken heart for one reason or the other. You know? Well, hey, all you got to do is go out and visit on my bus route with me and see the problems with alcohol and the problems with drugs, the problems with jail, the problems with divorce, the incredible amount of grief and agony from sin and of the people that they deal with all the time, okay? Where they live. "Oh, my kids were taken away from me because of, you know, this or that custody battle. Oh, my husband beat me and I got him put in jail because, you know, he was beating me. Oh, you know, I'm married to my fifth husband." Yeah. All the different things that they deal with. Hey, I want to be there to help them the best I know how. Yes. I want to be there to encourage them, and I want to be some little bit of light, some little bit of happiness, some little bit of encouragement in their life, you know? That I want them to like to see me coming on Saturday and Sunday. I want them to say, "Hey, there's Brother Stoltz. It's, you know, glad to see him coming." My heart is fixed on serving other people, and I believe in that. And our Lord Jesus was a perfect example of that, and our preacher is a perfect example of that. He just, you know, I remember calling him at 3:30 in the morning because my son had just messed up incredibly. And I called the preacher. I'm like, "I don't know what else to do." And I called Brother Bush, and he answered the phone, and he thanked me for calling him. He said, "I'm glad that you were willing to call me. I'm glad that you felt like you could trust me enough." He was thanking me for calling at 3:30 in the morning to tell him my issues. He is a man who enjoys serving people and loving people and being there for people. He wants to meet people's needs. He enjoys that. That's who he is. It kills him that he couldn't be here today. I know it kills him. But that's who our preacher is, an example. And his heart is fixed on serving people. And if you're going to stay, again, if 20 years from now you're still going to be in the work of God, you're going to fix your heart on serving people. Hey, what about the rewards in heaven? What about the rewards in heaven? Jesus said, whoso shall give, you know, only a cup of water to one of these little ones, only in the name of a disciple, he said, he shall in no wise lose his reward. You care about somebody, you meet a simple need. He said, you'll in no wise lose your reward. Hey, what else did he say about it? He said, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. How do you serve God? I want to serve God. How do you serve God? By serving people, serving Christians. Huh? That's how you serve God. You want to serve God? That's how you do it. And I realize I'm preaching to the choir here. I can look around the room, and about every person in here is involved in serving people and serving God, and I love that. I am glad for where I am, okay? I'm glad for my friends and the people who are here in this place. But hey, my heart is fixed on service. I want to die serving people. I want to be a servant. I want to be used, and my heart is fixed on that. Okay? I don't want to be the boss. I don't want to be the millionaire. I don't care to be the rock star. I want to be a servant. I want to serve people. That's the big thing. Okay? And that's the Lord Jesus. He came as one serving. He could have come as the boss. He didn't do that. He said, I come unto you as he that serveth. Okay? He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Our reward's in heaven. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. How do you do that? Serving others, serving people. One last little illustration here. General William Booth. The Salvation Army used to be a good denomination. Nowadays, I don't think that they're anywhere close to good, but used to be a decent denomination. Soul-winning people. And General William Booth was like the head. I don't know if he was a founder, but he was the uppermost authority in that denomination, General William Booth. And he was slated to be at the conference, the national conference, so all the delegates from the Salvation Army, and they were coming to hear him preach. And he got delayed. He got delayed, and he actually couldn't get there at all. But what he did was he sent a telegram with his message on it. For the delegates of the Salvation Army, you know, they're all, and the moderator stands up to the pulpit. He says, "Well, Brother Booth is not able to be with us tonight, but he has sent us a message to be read to the delegates here." And he said, and I read it now. He opened it up. It said, "Dear delegates of the Salvation Army, others." That was the only word on the telegram. Others. That was his sermon. And what other single word could wrap up the Christian life like that? Others. Okay? If you just chew on that for a little bit, you see what I'm saying. My heart is fixed on a few things, and I'm glad about that. And this is my joy and my rejoicing, these things, the Bible and prayer, the doctrine of salvation, my salvation, soul winning, separation, service. Hey, those are the elements of the Christian life. That's where it's at right there. You need to get your heart fixed on these things if it's not already. Get your heart settled, fixed, unmovable, unshakable, grounded, settled, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand. We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes. We're done for this evening.